Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
We are back, the Roma Press Podcast. We hope you are doing well as usual. Thank you to all of our wonderful patrons over at Patreon. If you would like to join just before the season begins to experience the chaos that is the patron group chat, get early access to episodes, patreon.com/RomaPress. And of course, thank you to all of our wonderful patrons who make this possible. And as always, at IS Roma Press on YouTube for the video version of the podcast. Like and subscribe down below. It helps immensely. We greatly appreciate it. We are, I don't know, Andy, really, if I'm more excited for the season to begin or the transfer market to end. Really, the fact that they're relatively close together seems in and of itself a reason for elation, because as we sit here, it is just over 3 weeks until the market closes. And how many days until match day one? Is it eight now?
Yeah, or, it's eight. It's yes, eight.
Right there. Eight. And of course, beginning in Cagliari. So we will be back next time to go more in depth into that one and into the season as a whole, make our predictions that we can inevitably laugh at when we are sitting in the full throes of chaos come, I don't know, January, February at the latest. I can't even get there yet with all of this market stuff still happening.
There's no point. But what is going to happen now is the season will overlap with the market, and it's going to be a hellish 2 weeks of rumors and football results. It's the worst combination in the world, is when you have actual football being played at the same time as all the market stuff comes up to the surface. All the agents are scrambling, or all the team's executives are getting panicky. Everybody's trying to buy, sell, and football is being played at the same time. So you're faced with concrete results at face value, players getting injured left and right, players underperforming. It's hell. We are about to enter the worst period of the year for any football fan.
And looking back, too, if we want to do the maths on this again, forget even the Milan match where you have the big elation of welcoming Romelu Lukaku. Those first two matches, they lost you the Champions League. They did. And I looking back on it, man, those first three games between Salernitana, Verona, Milan, that right there was your season, and it just
you're still thinking about that. I'm still hanging up on Roma Genoa 3-3 first game by Paolo Fonseca. Remember that thriller?
Yes.
That game encompassed all of Paolo Fonseca's tenure. I still come back to it as one of the more epic first games of the season. So I think we can talk about that next time we're on here, because that's when everybody's going to be losing their heads, because there's going to be more clarity as to what the starting 11 for Roma will look like. We've been, you know, not subjected to, that would be too drastic of a word. We've seen some friendlies over recent weeks. I think not a single person can still tell what this team is about, as in there was nothing that really stood out in these opening weeks. I think there's not even the Roman media, which are notorious for picking on the little things, haven't been picking on anything in particular in these opening friendlies. They've been quite mild, these friendlies, quite innocent in their implications. So I think we're not there yet. This is probably the crucial time where we will have to address players potentially leaving the club. There is several names on the list. There is more rumors now of players leaving Roma than of players coming in. There is also news of players that Roma were potentially targeting who are now going to other clubs, such as Mark Pubil from Almeria, who seemed so close. And again, there are some things that bother me, because in this case, once again, Mark Pubil, right back from Almeria, represented by none other than Fali Ramadani, the same guy of Chiesa. For weeks, we hear nothing but Roma are on to Mark Pubil. Yesterday, I am forced to write two articles within 40 minutes of each other that Mark Pubil is of interest to Atalanta, and then that Atalanta have sealed the deal for Pubil and Roma are out of the race. So to me, that's ridiculous, but that's part of the game. That's part of this. The show must go on, and that's what we will get into today, because this is the eve of the utter chaos that will explode next week.
Yes, we are on the precipice of chaos. You know, I love, just to touch on something you just brought up here with the agents. Listen, somebody like Fabrizio Romano, he has gained this platform because of his ability to talk with agents, and not only just talk to them, but getting them to spill some things. I joke with him about it every so often. Guys who say to me, I don't talk to the media, they will tell to him their deepest, darkest secrets, as if he is, I'm convinced he is like a CIA plant. It's unbelievable, some of the things he's able to get. That is only able to happen because of these agents. Again, it's not as if he is talking to all of these clubs. It's the agents. Okay, they are the central figures of this thing. I could ask Roma things all day and night. They will keep the cards relatively close to the vest, particularly under the Friedkins. But these agents, man, the way they inject themselves into these storylines. For instance, earlier this week, you wrote something that Sky Sport came out with, more in particular, Mangiante, one of my favorites in the Ambiente Roma. And he wrote, he reported, and he went on television and expanded further on this, saying, hold on, Federico Chiesa, he never said no to Roma. He never rejected Roma. He never said, no, I don't want to join Roma. I would not be interested in coming to Roma. I would love to play under De Rossi. He would be honored. He never rejected.
He only asked Roma. For more time. That was the thing. He asked for more time.
Now, something like that, I assume most people can recognize it, but maybe they don't. That is coming from the lips, or in this case, the fingers of Ramadani, texting and messaging this to Mangiante, and the same thing to everybody else, because that the word is going out. Okay, this is, I hate politics, but football, for all intents and purposes, is politics a lot of the time, where you have different factions fighting for a certain message or a certain sort of point of view to be believed. The jostling that goes in between these, I hate this part. This is why I hate the market. It's people like this that have ruined it for me. I would love to not have been tainted by the knowledge of these dorks, these dweebs, these weasels. they're weasels. They're weasels. Okay, where okay. They will just tell you one thing one week, and then the next week it's all different.
Yeah.
Listen.
Yeah.
Federico Chiesa, you want to know why he doesn't have a club right now? It is because he is looking for the exact same wage that he earns right now, which is like 5.5-6 million euro with Juve. Okay? That's why he's not at a club
right
now.
It's not going to happen anywhere. It's not going to happen.
Correct.
That's why he's still without a team. That's why he's been frozen out of the Juventus squad. And that is why we are all of a sudden, 3 weeks away from deadline day, we're hearing... We're being bombarded by all of a sudden this series of news that he is still open to a transfer to Roma. Why? Because he needs the word of mouth to get across that he is looking for a team. He's looking for a contract. It's not specifically about Roma. It's about any team that may be interested in. The message is, I'm available. I'm desperate. I'll consider anything. But that is why we said on the last episode, it's so refreshing to have someone like Dovbyk's agent, because there you got all the facts straight out, no change in narrative. Everything was perfectly clear within 1 week. The message was always the same. We want to leave. We want to leave Girona. We have rejected Atletico. We want to join Roma. That was it. That was the message. With Chiesa, on the other hand, we are looking at a player who, I mean, he dug his own grave right now. The hole he's in, he's dug it himself. He had plenty of time to address this. The fact that he was leaving Juve was made clear to him right after the season ended, right after Massimiliano Allegri was sacked. It was clear Federico Chiesa will not be part of the project. Chiesa wanted a big contract. Chiesa continues to want a big contract without realizing that teams are not ready to invest that kind of money in him. And a team like Roma, much less so, as because we know that they want to go in a different direction. And Chiesa is not, as things stand, with the demands that he has right now, Chiesa is not compatible with Roma's vision. Things may change. Chiesa may go from asking for 5.5 million to 3 million all of a sudden, you know, and then you have to think about it. Sure, but the messaging that we get is ridiculous, primarily because it's the narrative that is being spun by Chiesa's camp, and that's it. That applies to so many other players, but Chiesa, I think, is the prime example of what goes wrong, what can go wrong, if you're trying to draw a big contract.
Yes. And if you were to ask, if you talk the way they speak now versus how they were speaking and talking to every single person in the media who asked it to them now versus 6 weeks ago, it is as if you are talking to a different person. It's not as if it is not Ramadan anymore. It's like somebody inhabited his body. Because if you were to ask them about the situation in late June, they thought this would be taken care of immediately after the Euro. They thought this thing would be done. It would be easy. Always got interest from the Premier League. Oh, look, Bayern Munich, they're interested too. There's Inter, Roma. He's going to have his choice, a bevy of options at his disposal. That's not going to happen. I mean, initially he asked Roma 6 million euros, okay? 6 million euros net. That's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. And if you continue to do this thing, and this is where agents, it just bothers me, because in the end, it is the player who takes, for the most part, the criticism. It is them who takes the blame. They draw the ire of supporters of other teams that they are being linked to.
Just look at Cup Miners in Atalanta, the guy refusing to train, you know, despite having a contract there, refusing to train, refusing to show up at training camp because he wants to go to Juve. But that's not up to, that decision alone is not up to the player himself. That's up to also the agent who advises him on what to do, on how the dynamics of the market work. I must say, you know, the transfer market can be fun, but it can also bring out the worst in this sport. Because you're confronted with teams that are paying obscene amounts of money, by players who are requesting obscene amounts of money, by agents who advise players to do the worst kind of stuff, by the media circulating the most ridiculous rumors and passing them off as truth in the gospel. And it's just... That is why I'm saying, with the season approaching, we're about to have these two worlds of the football being played and the football taking place off the pitch as well, clashing into each other. And that's the worst combination you can possibly get.
It's horrible. It is absolutely horrible. But the problem is, too, it's like Ramadani, he knew it was going to be... not impossible, but very unlikely that any of the big teams in a European league were going to give that kind of contract to Chiesa. He knew that. To even expect a team like Roma, a team like even Inter, I mean, why would anybody give to him a contract raising wage? It's delusion. It's absolute delusion. And the thing, too, is, in a way, you have to laugh about it. There wouldn't even really be a negotiation with Juve. I mean, this would be done tomorrow. If there was any club that was willing to give or find an agreement with Chiesa, Juve would pack his bags, gift wrap him to you. They would deliver him in a limousine. that's how desperate they are to get rid of this guy. But for months now, and by the way, this is why I also have to laugh. It's not as if Andy, and everybody knows this, but even though the market only opens 1 of July, it's not as if these agents or these players, they wait until then to begin negotiations, begin talks. I mean,
no, these things happen a year ago. I mean, like, remember, like, Frattesi with Inter, the guy had started speaking with Inter like almost a year prior to his move. So these things take time. The things happen behind the scenes without us knowing. Someone like Chiesa, I think, was advised, go out and have a great Euro campaign. And that's when you'll draw the big fish, you know. And there was talk of Bayern Munich. There was talk of Premier League interest in him.
Yes, Spurs.
Well, look at him now. It's when this episode will be out, it will be the 9th of August. And Federico Chiesa has still zero offers on the table.
Right. And again, you can tell the level of desperation when you have Ramadani telling to everybody, hey, by the way, just to put it out there, because that's the thing. When they send these kinds of messages, they know with just like that, it will be published within minutes. So you can tell what the desperation level is when you have Ramadani messaging to everybody, hey, by the way, he doesn't reject Roma. Just to be very clear, he just asked for more time. He never said no to Roma.
And what about when you start hearing about the details of a potential deal with Juve, and you start hearing these rumors of that we wanted to touch upon this? The latest rumors are Roma are looking at Brian Cristante and Stefano El Shaarawy as potentially two outsiders who could be involved in a deal for Chiesa. Those are the latest whispers that have gained traction in Italy, is that Roma may be ready to part ways with Cristante or Stefano El Shaarawy in a package deal for Chiesa.
Right, yeah. What do you say to that,
John?
If my grandmother had wheels, she would be a bike. Like, that's what I say to that. I mean, come on. It's... Listen, that's not going to happen for other reasons being, go look or Google very quickly. I know you know this, but everyone can go to like CampaLNG.com and just see what El Shaarawy makes. And you tell to me if even for one season, Juve would be willing to match that, because I can tell you the short and simple answer is no. Okay. It's a no.
What about Cristante? What are we?
Come on, no.
How are we feeling about Cristante?
No. Right. Roma are going to sell one of their most integral pieces. A guy who I have not hidden my. We have criticized him a lot on here only because he is just so.
I don't remember.
Years ago.
I think you've just criticized him for looking Canadian. That's all. I don't think you've.
Yeah, he's just so ordinary and unassuming of a person. You it would never occur to you passing this guy, like, you know, on the metro or something, that he's one of the most integral pieces of a professional football team. But no, I mean, come on, that's not going to happen.
That comes from the fact that it's been going around lately. I think Filippo Biafura, who's a friend of the show, has said numerous times, and on Twitter, people love to chat with Biafura, because Biafura is very selective in the kind of tweets he sends out and in the kind of messages that he responds to. And
yes, he's doing the thing. He's copying and he said, like, I just say okay to people when they respond to anything I report, because they give me an opinion on something that I say out there.
Instead,
I just say
he
okay.
Engages. No, he engages.
He engages now. He's doing this thing where he's doing it with I don't know if there are bots or not.
I think he's just being very polite. I think he's very polite.
And to see my nudes.
In his answer to one of the question, when someone asked him, so what about this Cristante news, that Cristante may be leaving Roma? Biafra said, there's no such thing as an unsellable player for Roma. And I think in this case, it could be true to an extent that, sure, I mean, if someone were to come to Roma and say, listen, we're going to give you this X amount of money for Brian Cristante, now obviously Roma would have to think about it. but I really doubt, and that applies, I think, to just about anybody, with perhaps yes. with the exception of Miles Viar and Evan Dika, because they're sort of like the two players that Roma have discovered in recent years that have the potential to be sort of long-term pieces. But that's a long way off from saying, well, Cristante will just be included in a deal for a player that, like in Chiesa, I think will struggle to leave I think Juve will struggle to get any offer above 15 yes. million, given all the bad publicity that's been happening recently, given how desperate it sounds, like, given that Thiago Motta went out of his way to basically exclude him right off the bat. Yeah. In front of the media, you're not gonna, you know, there is no way in hell you will be including someone like Cristante in a deal for Chiesa. No matter what you think of Cristante, it's just something that Roma will not be prepared to do. Just like the rumors of Milan, for whatever reason, offering both Salzmakers and Okafor for Tammy Abraham. It doesn't work like that. It just doesn't work like that. There are obviously players that may interest Roma, as in someone like Okafor can perhaps address Roma's need for a dynamic winger, a guy who can come off the bench, score, versatile, because he can also play as a striker.
Multiple roles, yes.
Sure, great. But that's not the way the market functions. It's also funny how we see these narratives just develop a life of their own. So Abraham in talks with Milan, who knows, you know, what's going on there. We get exactly Chiesa to Roma, but at the same time, Roma haven't done anything about Chiesa in over a month. And even then, Roma were not close to Chiesa, unlike people kept reporting. So we have this Mark Pubil situation. Mark Pubil goes to Roma. Mark Pubil goes to Roma. Roma to meet with his agent. Roma to meet his agent. And then guess what? Mark Pubil goes to Atalanta. So now we're faced with the series of players who could leave. And we're looking at the usual suspects. Rick Karsdorp, Chris Smalling, Ebrim Adarbo, Marash Kumbula. Those are like the main names to potentially leave Roma. But will they? That's the question, because someone like Rick Karsdorp, even if he's in talks with a club like Besiktas, if Rick Karsdorp goes out of his way to demand 3.5 million euros, which...
Not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. Chris Smalling, same goes for him. If he goes out of his way asking left and right for 3.5 million euros, which is what he earns more or less, it's not going to happen. That's why I say this is the hellish part of the transfer window, where Roma must get really the dirty work done, because getting rid of players like Karsdorp, like Smalling, whose position at the club is still unclear. I cannot believe that we have someone like him who's a veteran, who's even featured in some of these friendlies with the captain's armband, but his future is anything but clear with Roma. And I think that's a player that the first offer that Roma were to get, he'd be out of the door within 2 seconds. And players like him, like Kumbula, they prevent you from actually reinforcing the team the way you would want to. Because as we know, over recent days, there's been rumors that Roma are interested in guys like Arthur Tit of Rennes. They're interested in Loic Badé of Sevilla. So clearly Roma are well aware of their need to add a strong defender that can be rotated with Gianluca Mancini, Evan Dika, someone who will not make you miss the starters and who could potentially threaten the position of certain starters in the team. So, but unless you get rid of the guys that you must get rid of, the guys that prevent you from making that qualitative leap, nothing's going to happen, and Roma will have their hands tied.
Well, that's correct, too. And that should also, the reasons as to why we are having problems, or Roma are having problems getting rid of these guys, is exactly the reason why everybody, no matter how much you like Federico Chiesa, it's exactly why you should be apprehensive. The reason Roma are in this position, maybe not necessarily with somebody like Tammy Abraham, but most definitely with Chris Smalling, these bad contracts, this has been a theme at Roma. I mean, if we just go over the last decade, we can find so many. We can go down all of the hits. I mean, the Florenzi one still to this day irks me to such a degree that it feels like it should be classified as criminal activity. You can't be reckless. No matter how much you want Federico Chiesa, and even if it is at a cunt rate where you can get him for 10 to 15 million, you can't do it and hand to him enormous wages for 4 to 5 years, because doing so gives you what we have with Smalling. It is what we have with Spinazzola. You are...
Even Tammy Abraham, mind you, even Tammy Abraham... Even Tammy Abraham, who's just not the player that we got at the time when we got him, young potential, everything, a huge fee, some of the biggest wages on the team, huge annual costs right now, and the production level is zero. Tammy Abraham is looking at not starting the upcoming friendly with Everton. Dovbyk will start most likely. A guy who just joined training 3 days ago. So what are we doing?
I can at least forgive that, though, because at the time, we have hindsight, obviously, but at the time, sure. You can at least see. I am willing to forgive. Even Kumbula, Kumbula, I'll never forget that one, because I was on the phone with his agent. He said, no, there's nothing with Roma. Nothing with Roma.
It happened in 20 minutes. Yeah, it happened in 20 minutes. It was crazy. At the same time, you were getting a player with a huge, huge potential. One of the best young defenders in the league under Juric.
Yes.
But it was crazy. The things that bother me is Karsdorp, who was renewed under Thiago Pinto until 2025. Chris Smalling, who last season we took a gamble on him the same way we took a gamble on Stefan El Shaarawy after a season where he was heroic. It seemed almost logical to, renew him. And yet, it turned out to be bad. And that has to be the sort of foresight that Roma have. It has to be, like, Roma cannot put themselves in that position to make a mistake like that. Because perhaps at the time, extending Smalling's contract seemed logical because, hey, the man was coming off one of the best seasons for a defender in Serie A in the last few years. But there had to be some... awareness with regards to his age, his physical condition, because we saw what Smalling was capable of in terms of missing basically an entire season, which is what happened in his second year at Roma.
He's about to be 35 years of age. Can you believe that? 35.
Yeah. And it hurts you. It hurts you. It prevents you from developing. And that's why with Chiesa, one must be really careful, because it's all about opportunity, as in, I'm not saying it couldn't happen. Chiesa could happen, but for it to happen, the guy needs to lower his demands drastically. He needs to ask for a short-term contract, because Chiesa is on a bad knee, 26 years old, coming off a really, really disappointing season. Not in a good moment. So this is not the kind of player that you sign thinking, well, he's going to be part of your future. This is a player that you sign, making him the face of the franchise at the moment in time. But Roma, I think, are far from that. As in, Roma are now trying to go in a different direction. They're not focusing on momentary solutions. And I think Chiesa, on the kind of wages that he wishes, would be more of a momentary solution to Roma's problems, namely not having qualified to the Champions League for the sixth time in a row.
And I understand it is difficult at times, particularly in the midst of the market when, you know, those final days or those final weeks are here, they're waning, and it's very clear that the team still needs something. I understand it is difficult to have the balance of looking 2 to 3 years into the future of saying, okay, well, as much as I want this guy now, is this going to come back to haunt us in the following seasons? The thing, I think Smalling, as you pointed out, is the perfect example. Do you remember when it was coming down, when his, and this is, anytime we talk about Smalling, I'm just brought back, I still have messages from his lawyer on my WhatsApp because I mentioned he was working with an agent as an intermediary, and they took issue with that. By the way, every player and agent works with intermediaries, so I don't know why they took issue with that. But anyway, do you remember how it came down literally to the final minutes? And there was even some question as to whether or not they sent the facts to Legacy.
It went overboard. They went overboard. It's just that the Friedkin sent Joe Pesci to take care of the situation. So, Roma did everything they could to sign Smalling literally at the death. And
yes.
Arguably, yeah. They went overboard with it, and then Friedkin was like, okay, give me Joe Pesci from 1990, the Joe Pesci from Goodfellas, send him in, you know, get their ass.
Yeah, I understand it is difficult when you have a player that you want and you see, and the prospect of them within the team is enticing. Having that calmness is very difficult, but man, I just look... whether it be transfer, but usually the thing that has haunted Roma, and I've said this time and time again, really there is no sporting director that is free of blame, have been the renewals and the Smalling renewal, Karsdorp. Again, I would say this is probably the first summer, and I have to give full credit to Gisolfi. It would have been so easy to give somebody like Spinazzola a cut rate contract of
prisoners of the moment. Yeah, Roma have been prisoners of the moment so many times, you know, like exactly with Karsdorp. You know, Karsdorp, remember, he's on the verge of joining Atalanta, and then Fonseca keeps him. And then he has a good season with Mourinho, and then nothing. But Roma become prisoners of the moment and find themselves renewing his contract in 2022 until 2025. By that time, Karsdorp had been with Roma for 5 years. 2022. Yeah, he joins 2017. That's insane to me. That's a decision that we make, and for fans. As fans, we can make those mistakes. As in a certain moment, we're like, we can be, renew Karsdorp. But a club has to have the foresight, you know. That's what a club like Atalanta does so well. Atalanta have been so good. You know why? Because they've not made their future dependent on a select number of players. They've changed players so often. Atalanta's transfers have been constantly revolving. There's not the starting lineup has been changing so much in recent years. Sure, you have a few players that have stayed, but mostly Gasperini and Percassi and the whole management at Atalanta, they've been rotating that squad like hell, which means that they've never made the mistake of putting themselves in a situation where financially they would not be able to sustain the weight of some of those contracts. So, you know, they don't consider players that have a good season or two vitally important, because they know that if they go out of their way and they find the right talent, they can emulate that just fine. The life goes on, you know. At Atalanta, for example, life goes on. It'll be interesting to see if Bologna can also do that this year. If that's the case, of life goes on. But at Roma, it seems like we get trapped in the moment, and it feels like, oh, by nature, we have to renew a guy who got, you know, 9 goals and 7 assists, or maybe got 3-4 assists. No, you have to have that kind of foresight. If you want to be competitive in the long term, you have to understand that strength is in numbers, not in individuals, you know? And that's what Roma so often have failed to grasp, renewing Florenzi, renewing Karsdorp, sticking by to Leonardo Spinazzola, sticking by Chris Smalling.
Yes.
It doesn't work. Sticking by, you know, you can argue, sticking by the Cristante, sticking by Nicola Zaleski. You find yourself in these situations with players who are giving you next to nothing, are earning huge wages, taking up space, and prevent you from making that qualitative leap that would allow you to get back to the objectives that you want to strive for.
Yes, too. And by the way, that discipline, as you pointed out with Atalanta, that allows them to be in the position where they are about to make 4 to 5 times on their money on somebody like Cope Miners. They can wait and draw it out
and just won a Europa League.
But not even that, too. I mean, that puts them in a position where they lose Gianluca Scamacca, and within 1 week, they have. I mean, if we're
not even a week,
about,
John, 2 days. It was 2 days. Two days.
That entire negotiation, yeah.
It's not even about. It's not even about whether the money is well spent or not. It's about the quickness of the reaction. As in,
yes,
correct. We can make things work. That's the thinking. Is we can make it work, no matter who it is, no matter who gets hurt, who goes, who comes. We're going to make it work. That's been their motto. That's why they've been successful. I find teams like Milan, like Inter, to have made, and Juve for sure. Juve have renewed the contracts of guys like Rugani, Danilo, getting caught up in the moment. There are so many of those supposedly top clubs in Italy, like Roma, you know, who get attached to players in the moment without realizing that, hey, you're going to be facing massive issues a few years from now when those players will be banged up, injured, not productive, and will cost you a lot of money.
I couldn't agree more. That and the fear of pulling the plug too prematurely on players. Well, we've seen that so often with guys from the Primavera, Iturbe. I mean, we want to talk about that. The backlash that Sabatini faced that day simply because of Twitter. He has to go on his pre-match interview on Sky Sports and say, "Oh no, we're not selling Juan Iturbe," simply because of backlash. Like at some point, and that's again, we are prisoners of the moment far too often, and it's not only supporters of Roma, but it's almost like that fear of not giving the guy
exactly
the new contract, the fear of not signing that guy.
Yes, but the thing, John, is
sometimes it's
fine
okay
for
to
us
just miss out sometimes.
But the thing is, it's fine for us. It's fine for us to be prisoners of the moment. It's fine for us to be prisoners of the moment. It's not fine if the club fails to do,
yes, no,
to respond accordingly and think about the future.
I couldn't agree more. We will leave it there. This is probably the last calm one before the chaos. So put on your seatbelt.
Wait, this was the calm one? This was the calm
one?
Yeah,
okay. Well, I'm relatively calm before the chaos ensues. We will be back in a few days. So until next time, ciao.